One of the pivotal moments in my career was about 15 or 20 years ago. And I took a week long, yes, an entire week long. It might have only been 3 days, but I remember taking up the entire week of a time management course. And part of this training, even though it was time management, part of the training was creating 10-year goals, 5-year goals, and it taught you goal planning and goal setting. And it taught you how you take like every month or every week or every year, and you're always making steps towards those goals. Because it was a business class, we made career goals. And I attribute a lot of my success to creating and maintaining the career plan that they taught me how to do in this class. Because I was constantly focused on that 10-year goal. Now, granted, I probably should have made it a 5-year goal and I would have reached it quicker, but I was young and I didn't understand it at that point, and I didn't understand how well the process worked. But what happens when your goal is too far out is that life happens and you end up stalling and just thinking, oh, I got time, I got 10 years. But strangely enough, 10 years hit and I hit the goal like within months of that 10-year mark. And then I set another goal and I hit that goal as well, that career goal as well, actually quite recently. So I really attribute a lot of my success to career planning and having that plan and maintaining that plan. However, I see a lot of would-be safety executives without a plan. So today, I want to share the steps to creating a career plan that you can follow. And hopefully, you'll reach your career goals too. So let's get to it. Hey there, safety friends. Welcome to the Safety Geek Podcast. I'm Bri Sargent, CSP and 20-year safety professional. After spending years training safety leaders across the globe for a large corporation and creating safety programs from the ground up over and over again, I am now sharing my processes and strategies with you. At The Safety Geek, you will learn how to manage an effective safety program that increases your management support and employee engagement, all the while helping you elevate your position and move up in your career. If you're ready to step into the role of a safety influencer and leader, you're in the right place. Let's get to it. Now, on to creating your career plan. For starters, you can't create a plan without a destination. So we need to know where you want to go. Otherwise, you would end up just being like a safety nomad going out there doing whatever, which unfortunately is what I see a lot of people doing. So step one in our planning process is deciding where you want to go and setting those career goals. Where do you want to be, you know, 1 year from now, 3 years from now, 5 years from now? And I really don't want you to go further than 5 years, just because I don't want you to end up like I did, where I could have reached my goal in 5 years if I had set it as a 5-year goal as opposed to a 10-year goal. So step one is just like, where do you want to be? And you might not know. And here's the thing about goals that a lot of people, they get stressed out about it, because like, let's say you set a goal that you want to be a director of safety at a large corporation overseeing multiple locations, right? And then as you're going along, it's not really getting close to that. You see that you're not going to meet the goal. One of the key points of goal setting is remembering that it's your goal and you can change it. It's your plan and you can change it. There's nothing wrong with going off your goal or going to a different goal or going off your plan or changing your plan. The only thing that is wrong is staying still. The only thing that is wrong is not making the plan and not trying to go for something, right? So I want you to not get stressed out over whatever this goal is, because you want to reevaluate your goals every single year anyway, and you can change them. In fact, I change my plan probably every 6 months. But as long as I'm always looking at it and I'm always working towards it, it makes me feel good. And I know that in the end, I will end up reaching some higher achievement than where I am now. All right. So start thinking about where you want to be. And if you're not really sure where you want to be, maybe it's a dollar figure you want to make. Maybe it's something that you want to do. I know one of my goals one time was keynoting at a safety conference, right? Maybe it is a vacation that you want to be able to afford or take, whatever it is. So set your career goals and write them down. So that way you know what it was that you were working for. Now, as you are looking at this step one at what you want to do, I want you to make a list as to what you need to do in order to achieve that goal. If you're sitting as a manager of a plant right now, but you want to be the director over all of the plants, what do you need to do? And the first thing you might want to consider is formal education. And unless you already have your master's or your doctorate, you don't want to skip this step. I want you to be looking at your formal education. This means, you know, your university education, your degree, not just like seminars or workshops. We'll get to that next. But look at your formal education and go, what formal education do I need? How long will it take me to complete it? How much will it cost me? And what will I get as a return from that investment? So what I tell people all the time is that if you are new in safety, if you are just getting started, you don't have your bachelor's degree already, you need to start working towards it. Even if it is just one class a semester. And in the beginning, that's all it needs to be, is one class a semester, because there's other things you need to learn first. But eventually you're going to need that degree, so you might as well be working towards it. And there are ways to do it at a low cost, so that way you're not putting out a ton of money to get that degree. Like, you could do community college, and it might not necessarily need to be a safety degree. You can go to public university, but you do need to have that bachelor's degree. If you're young and you already have that bachelor's degree, then you need to be working towards your master's. And I would, if you wanted to stay in the safety field, I would go for a master's in safety. I would, or an MBA, one or the other, a master's in business or a master's in safety. So those two will give you a leg up once you get stuck. Because what will happen in your career is you'll go so far and then you will get stuck, where you are competing against people that already have these things, or you're not getting past the talent acquisitions people because you're not meeting some minimum requirement, right? So make sure that you have a plan to get that in place. And if you have never attended college, it could take you on a part-time basis anywhere from 6 to 8 years to complete that. So plan that out. An MBA or a master's can take you anywhere from 2 to 4 years to complete it. And there are some great masters in safety that you can get online, or look at your local, wherever you can get like an in-state discount would be good as well. So I'm always a fan of public universities, just because there is no advantage over public institutions compared to private, unless that private is Ivy League, when you look at the span of income that they can make from it. So the public universities, if you stay within your state, you typically get a cheaper rate. So that gives you the chance to get the bigger return on investment. I know I have a whole episode on this somewhere, but when it comes to career planning, just make sure that you have some plan to get your formal education completed. What I hear from a lot of people is they upfront their formal education. They decide that they want to stay in safety. So they're like, right away, they're like, I'm going to get my bachelor's degree. I'm going to get my CSP. And that's all they're focused on. And honestly, that is not where you need to be focused on in the beginning. In the beginning, you need to know how to do the job and do it well. And you need to build a network. And that comes to step three in our career plan, is how can you plan for your informal education outside of the university system? So what I would do is list out all of your skills. And then looking back at that dream job or career goal, what skills are you lacking? And then start taking classes and seminars and webinars and attending conferences based on those needs. because it's more important that you learn those skills than it is that you have that piece of paper with a bachelor's degree. The sooner you can learn the skills and the processes and systems of doing your job, the better you can get at the job. So you can build up that braggable track record of results that when you combine it with your degree, it kind of makes you unstoppable in the job market. Okay. So go back to that career goal, look at everything they're looking for. What can you obtain through informal education, through online classes, through maybe your local safety council? So like local safety councils typically do like a monthly training. So maybe you can go to that monthly training. I know ASSP, they have monthly meetings. You can go to those meetings and start learning the skills. You don't need a piece of paper to prove that you learned the skill. You just need to learn the skill. You need to get really good at the job and build up that braggable track record of results. So as you are looking at your career plan, that is what I would front load, is getting the skills and knowing how to do the job. And then on the back end, you're just taking one or two college classes to finish off that degree. All right, the next step in your career plan is certifications. And this is where it gets tricky, because anyone who's downloaded, you can go to thesafetygeek.com/certifications. This is a document I created because I get this question so much about whether or not I give a certification with Safety Management Academy. And what I do is I give you a certificate of completion, but I am not going to certify you as a safety professional because of lots of things that I say in that document. But it gets tricky because there is no governing body over certifications for safety. Any organization can say, I certify you as a safety professional. I could do that. I could say you're certified safety professional, right? Or you're certified by the Safety Geek. I could do that. But honestly, it's worthless. It is worthless until the job market recognizes it. So interestingly enough, I had this question recently that said, does OSHA recognize Safety Management Academy? Is it a recognized training? And I'm like, OSHA doesn't recognize any training other than the OTI Center, which is the centers they operate and they oversee. But there are organizations out there that have OSHA in their name, in their website name, that people believe are certified by OSHA. And it's like, no, that's not the way that it works. It's just companies saying that because there is no governing body. So I'm a certified safety professional by the Board of Certified Safety Professionals, which is a company, but it is a recognized company. And who is it recognized by? By the marketplace. So look at the job postings and look what they're looking for. And if it is a certification they want to see, then that's what you need to go for. A lot of times what you'll see is they're looking for a CSP, which is what I have. They may also be looking for a CHST, which is the construction health and safety technician. I've also seen them looking for a CIH, which is the industrial hygiene one, which is probably one of the hardest ones to get. But look at what they're looking for. I think like if you're in another country, if you're not in the US, it's like a NEBOSH certificate. Whatever the job market recognizes, that's what you want to go for. And honestly, it's just a piece of paper. It doesn't really have much meaning. The reason why people ask for certifications is because they don't know how to do our job. And the only way to prove that you know how to do your job is this, to them, is this certification. This is why I say building up that braggable track record of results and getting the skills will also help you prove that you can do your job. So let's say you're not an academic and you're never going to get your bachelor's degree. That means you can never get your CSP. But if you had a portfolio of positive results and you had a strong network, they will overlook that. They're really just looking for you to be able to prove that you can do your job. And it's also for you to get past that talent acquisitions piece where they have a stack of 100 applicants that they need to weed through. And you having your CSP, which is typically the most recognized certification out there, it then goes like, oh, okay. They're acceptable to even go to the next level. So that's where you end up getting stuck if you don't have your college degree or your certification. So I would never front end these things. These are things you're doing on the back end. And I believe a CSP, you might have to have 3 or 5 years of verifiable experience before you can even sit for the exams. And it's a beast of an exam. And if you don't have like an AA in safety, then you actually have to take 2 exams. So, and they're hard. They're very hard. They're like 6-hour tests, but they are worth it to at least say, yep, I'm done. And then I will go. So the next thing, as you have, like, now you know what skills you need to gain, and now you know what degrees you want to go for, and now you know what certifications you want to go for, the next thing you need to consider is budgeting, because all of this stuff costs money, and you will get a return on your investment, 100% you will, but you need to make sure that you're setting aside a budget. And this is where I like to make that plan for my career and what I need to gain, right? Because once I get that CSP, there's an annual fee for it. Plus, I have to get CEUs every 5 years. That's a cost as well. So you need to make sure that you're planning for those costs, so that way you don't lose your certification or you don't reach your career goals because you didn't make a budgeting plan. So the research that I have done, I know I invest a lot in my education every year, probably like 10 grand a year. And I know a lot of people can't do that. So I research, like, what is a good amount of your salary to be putting away for continuing education? And the number that I got was anywhere from 5% to 15%. So what I say is that you put away a percentage that you can afford. Like, maybe you open up like a separate savings account. I'm a huge fan of like the high yield. Say, I'm not even going to get into that. But put your money away. Every single paycheck, you have a portion of it go away into a continuing education bucket. So that way you can pay for these things. And I mean, and it's nice that, like, if you go to the public university system or an accredited college, you can probably get some financial aid to help you out. There are chances that your boss may reimburse you for this training. That's always an option, but you should never rely on that. Because this is what I want to tell you. I used to have the mindset of that I don't pay for my own stuff. If you want me to learn something, you need to send me to the class to learn it. You need to pay my travel and you need to pay my hotel and pay my food, because I'm a single, you know, I'm a young mom with kids and I can't afford it. But they were paying me a really high salary and they expected me to know my job. But that was my mindset. And I didn't learn a lot for a long time. And my salary stayed pretty much like this. And then finally, I made the decision, was like, I need to get this bachelor's degree. I need to learn the communication and leadership skills. If they're not going to pay for it, I'll just pay for it myself. So that way I can leave this company that isn't supporting me and go somewhere else. And the moment I made that decision, my salary went like a hockey stick. And it's because I was no longer limited by my employer. So I'm all about asking your employer for reimbursement. But the moment that you say, I can't do that because my employer won't pay for it, you're stopping your own career growth. So instead of that, just put away a percent. Maybe it's 2%. I'll put 2% into a savings account every paycheck. And then that's going to be my budget to pay for my continuing education. So if I have $89 in there, then I'm going to take that webinar that came across for VPPPA, because I need to learn this skill, because it's on my skills list that I created in my career plan. You know, and then once you have the budget and then you have that list, you can become very discerning about where you spend your budget on. So that way you make sure that you're looking out for your career growth. And the last thing that I wanted to touch on was that once you have your career plan, you know what your goals are, you know your education requirements, I would say your next step is that you're always looking at it. That is the key to what really got me to meet my goals, was that every month at a minimum, I would pull out my plan and I would just look at it. I very rarely made any changes, but the fact that I looked at it and I read it again made me make decisions that were right for me. Once again, hockey stick, right? So always make sure every, at a minimum every month, maybe every year, definitely. I would say the year you actually redo the plan to make sure you're still on track, because some stuff you might have knocked off and you might have a new thought as to what you want to do in your career. So every year you reevaluate it, but every month you just kind of look at it and make sure that you're still on track. All right. So I hope that that helps you. In the end, the last thing I want to touch on is balancing work and career and education and family, because you have a life, right? And you're working to support that life. Your life is not your work. Your work is just supporting that life. So you want to make sure that you're building a life that makes you happy, that you have your hobbies and your family, and that when somebody says what you do, like, you know, hey, Joe, what do? Your first thought should be like, I fish every weekend, or I play ball with my kids, or I'm a dad. You know, maybe it's that and not like I'm a safety manager. Your job is supposed to support your life. So as you are looking at this career plan and this career goal, remember that the goal is to give you enough money to support that life, but you want to have a nice little balance between your daily work, life with your family, and then doing this continuing education or formal education or certifications, right? When I went for my CSP, I had to study for it every single day. So you have to think about, how am I going to fit this into my life? Maybe you make a compromise with your boss and you say, hey, I need an hour every week in my office undisturbed, so that way I can work on my education. That way you're not cutting into family time, you're cutting into work time, but they see the benefit. This is where I think it's better than asking them to pay for it. It's just asking you to give me 1 hour a week or 30 minutes a day to actually work on it, and it's going to benefit them. All they're giving up is time, which honestly, they probably think you're scrolling Facebook anyway, so you might as well just ask for it. So that's where I like to balance the education with work, is trying to do it during work hours. But when I can't do it during work hours, if they say, no, you can't have that 30 minutes a day or that hour a day or hour a week or whatever, then try to fit it into your schedule where it can. And it's just compromise. Like we do with when we ask employees or supervisors to do safety tasks, we don't ask them to spend hours and hours doing it. It's like just a little bit. So if every day you're making just a little bit of progress towards it, this is why I love online courses, because every day you make a little bit of progress towards it. Even if you just have 20 minutes, you can learn something and then go on about your life. So make sure that you are definitely being proactive in doing that work, education, and family and life balance. So it's not all about work. I know I talk about increasing your salary a lot and making sure that you're getting the most out of this career, but it's so that you can support that life. So I hope you understand. And as I say that, just know that I am, as you're watching this, I might be out on my paddleboard on the river, because to me, that is what I enjoy most right now. So I want you to be doing what you enjoy most too. And if you have a job that supports you, you get rid of all that stress and you can go do what you like to do. Alrighty. Thank you so much for listening. Make sure that you subscribe to either the podcast or the YouTube channel, wherever you are listening or watching this from. And I will see you in the next one. Bye for now. Hey, if you're just getting started in safety, or you've been at this for a while and are hitting a roadblock, then I want to invite you to check out Safety Management Academy. This is my in-depth online course that not only teaches you the processes and strategies of an effective safety management program, but how to entwine management support and employee participation throughout your processes. Are you ready to finally understand exactly what you should be doing and ditch that safety police hat forever? Then you have got to join me and your fellow safety scholars over at Safety Management Academy. Just go to thesafetygeek.com/SMA to learn more and to get started. That's thesafetygeek.com/SMA. And I will see you in our next students-only live session. Bye for now.